Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andrew Gribble is here to talk about all the headlines that have been gaining traction on ClevelandBrowns.com. What's the latest?
Well, I missed you guys last week.
But, we missed you too, Gribbs.
We stayed busy, though, over the last couple weeks. But our biggest article had to be about Jim O'Neill's comments about Justin Gilbert. Justin Gilbert's a guy people love reading about, and they want to see him play better. And I think Jim O'Neill is really encouraged by what he's going to see from him in year two. And I think it started this offseason with working out with Joe Haden and just the feedback they're getting from just in these months and communicating really gets started in a couple weeks, though, with OTAs.
All right, well, here's what Jim O'Neill had to say on ClevelandBrowns.com.
You know, I'm looking forward to getting him back. I know he's working hard. I think it says a lot about him as a person that he sought out Joe Haden. Flew down to Miami, spent a couple weeks with him, worked out with him, picked his brain. So those are all good steps for him.
Well, listen, Justin Gilbert's rookie season didn't go as he wanted it to. He was called out by some of his teammates at the end of the season, Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby. He's got ways to go, and it says a lot that they signed Tremont Williams about where he's at, but he's going to have the opportunity to come along. They said Tremont Williams is like another coach in that room, guys to coach him up, got great secondary coaches, and in this second year, I think he finally understands what it means to be a professional, and that's going to be the key for him and Johnny Manziel. And if he can do that, the talent is there, and all of a sudden, you could have a situation where you could be sliding Joe Haden into the slot. You've got Williams on the outside, Gilbert on the outside, Dazier. This is could be a cornerback room with a lot of talent, and if Gilbert can realize his potential, the Browns are going to be in very good shape.
And I think the best thing that happened to Justin Gilbert is the fact that the secondary is so strong. I mean, last year he's drafted with that big pick. He's probably coming in thinking, I'm the guy. I'm going to be starting right away next to Joe Haden. Now it's not so certain. Tremont Williams is on board. Kaywan Williams had a great rookie season as well. Pierre Dazier showed promise. He's going to have to work hard on top of using his talent that we know he has, but it's going to take that work ethic. It's going to take a commitment. And even if he does that, there's no certainty to playing time. He just has to be impressive.
All right, Andrew, let's start leaning towards the draft here a little bit. What are the Browns going to do? And as we get closer, it's really silly season because you can hear, well, the Browns are going to trade 15 picks and they're going to move up to the number one. You'll hear everything in the silly season right now. Where do you think the Browns are going in the draft?
Well, even more silly is when we start reporting about draft visits because it seems like everyone's visiting everywhere. It's hard to connect the dots when those people are doing that. But it's the extra final homework that these teams are doing on these players. But, you know, I think we've kind of singled out a few positions. I think edge rusher's coming up pretty big. Offensive line keeps being really popular in the mock drafts, even though some people disagree if the Browns should go in that first round. With the offensive line, wide receiver still a very popular one, but there's that thinking that, you know, those top three receivers aren't going to be there when the Browns pick at number 12. And then the tight end position, even though Rob Hauser has been signed, I keep hearing about the Max Williams from Minnesota. There's a lot of popular with that, but in the first round, probably a stretch to get that.
Listen, wide receiver, edge rusher, interior defensive lineman, those are the three biggest needs for this team. If they want to go lineman on the offensive side in the first round, Cam Irving is the only guy I want out of Florida State. Why? He can come in and start for your guard this year, and then if Alex Mack does leave, he can come and play center for you. He's the best center in this draft. Versatile, that's the guy I want. You've got Michael Bowie. I like our starting five. I don't think we need a tackle in the first round. I think we need to go with our first three picks, edge rusher, defensive tackle, and a wide receiver or tight end, and we're good to go.
And edge rusher is really the only position that hasn't been addressed in free agency. That's why more and more it's looking in that direction at some point early in the draft. And, you know, the Browns tried to bring in Trent Cole, just wasn't going to work. But there's so many talented edge rushers in this class that you can get someone good at either 12 or 19. The name that I see that maybe falls in between there, kind of in that no man's land between 12 and 19, is Alvin Bud Dupree at Kentucky.
I like
you wonder if you have to make the move at 12 to grab him there so you don't miss out on him at 19. But maybe just figure out a way to get both that edge rusher and defensive tackle, and I think Browns fans will be pretty
happy. But let's be honest here. Ray Farmer likes deking people here. He likes people to think they're going to do one thing, and he's going to go the other way. I mean, he's admitted that.
Yes, and that's why I think wide receiver is very much in play. People forget that last year he said if they stayed at 4, they would have taken Sammy Watkins. I think if Devontae Parker's there at 12, he could be the guy. They could wait till 43 and see if they can get a Breshad Perriman there, see if they can get a Devin Funchess there. There are good receivers in this draft. The Browns are going to take one. And that's where I think he's fooling everybody. But I think the defensive focus and the offensive line focus, those are important. But I think the wide receiver is still very much in play.
All right, let's bring up the oldest topic since 1964 in this town. Cleveland Scene Magazine this week had a story about Cleveland sports fans being the most miserable sports fans in the nation. They did it with some scientific method, talking about when's the last time you won, how miserable you are. Do you not see, like, this is, to me, kind of lazy? I'll be honest with you, because it's an easy story to write. I think the harder story to write is, look, maybe the Browns are turning the corner. You've got consistency on the coaching staff a little bit here. You've also got a basketball team here in town that looks destined to do great things in the NBA playoffs, and the Indians have true high hopes.
You know, I've been a Cleveland sports fan since the day I was born, and do I look miserable, guys? I think I'm pretty happy and I'm pretty upbeat about what's going on. Yeah, smiling all the time. But I think that coming back to Cleveland just a few months ago, it's electric with the Indians and Cavs right now at the same time. And the Browns, I think, are going in the right direction. 7-9 last season, that's a 3-game improvement. And now the coaching staff is going to be satisfied with nothing short of the playoffs.
Sports Illustrated says the Indians are winning the World Series. I'm saying the Cavs are winning the NBA title, as my friend the kid says. Cavs in 5. And then I think the Browns, the tide is turning. They're building something the right way, which is going to allow them to have some long-term success. I think the patience that people in Cleveland have had to have is finally going to be rewarded.
Cavs in 5 against who?
That's anybody.
It's going to be tough. I think the Spurs, if you ask me, I think it's
I don't want the Spurs. Warriors, I think we handle a lot easier.
It's going to be tough. Andrew, thank you so much. We'll make sure we read your stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com.
Problem, anytime.
Good stuff, Gribbs.
All right, more Dog Pound Report coming your way after this.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, a heartwarming social post of the week, and we tell you how to win tickets to the uniform reveal. Today on Dog Pound Report, we talk the newly released Browns preseason schedule. We hear from newest Cleveland Brown, Rob Housler, and Johnny Manziel lifts the spirits of a fan in need. This is Dog Pound Report.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. Beside me, Nathan Zagura. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's Master Sunday. The uniforms will be revealed in 2 days. It's an exciting time.
I think we're all pretty excited about the uniform. We're going to get to that in one moment, though. Let's start with our first trending topic. Big news this week. We now know what the Browns' preseason schedule will look like. Nathan, let's just kind of break this thing down, starting with Washington in week one.
So they're going to start off at home for 2 games in the preseason, then go on the road for 2, starting with the Washington Redskins, a rematch of last year's Monday night preseason game. That was the one where Connor Shaw threw the Hail Mary. The Browns almost stole it. A battle of second-year head coaches and Mike Pettine and John Gruden. A battle of quarterbacks trying to rehabilitate their image and their play on the field and Johnny Manziel and RG3. So a lot to digest right out of the gate in that first preseason game. Then they stay at home for Thursday night primetime national TV, the battle of Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get a lot of good sound out of that one, I'm sure. And the whole nation will get to see the Browns there. Then you go on the road in the final tune-up, really week 3, the big important one, down to Tampa, get a little fun in the sun against the Buccaneers. Josh McCown returns to Tampa Bay for the first time, and that could feature Johnny Manziel against Jameis Winston, which I'm sure everybody in the media will be happy to see. And then the Browns wrap it up, going to Chicago, Soldier Field, to take on the Bears like they did a couple of years ago. If you remember, that was the game where Brian Hoyer had the good performance, ended up getting into the mix for the Browns. They go back there, take on the team under John Fox in his first season now as the Bears head coach.
All right, 3 things I notice here about this schedule. First of all, you've got the first 2 weeks at home. You're going to see a lot of Buffalo with the scrimmages that are going on against the Bills in Western New York. Then you get 2 games on the road away from home, so you can kind of really dissect and figure out exactly what you want to do with the roster. And no Great Lakes Classic. No Detroit Lions.
That's right. The Barge Bowl is off. No Detroit Lions. I am fine with that. It's good to see them go. I think adding Tampa, a road trip to Tampa, not bad for the players. And I think it's good, as you mentioned, get on the road there week 3, that final tune-up, kind of just hunker down everybody together so they can decide what 53 men are going to represent the Browns week 1 of this season.
Speaking of schedules, it feels like just yesterday the Browns were wrapping up the 2014 season. They've already got a busy schedule coming up. Several players and coaches will be at the big uniform reveal this Tuesday night that you can see right here on News Channel 5 at 7:30. I know people are really excited about it. I'm excited. I want to see what it's all about. It's going to be a pretty good to-do. The players will report on April 20th. Kind of get to know me before the draft.
It's kind of get in there. This is an opportunity to get the new playbook for the offense. Get in there, do some workouts, some stuff in the classroom. No on-field organized activities at that time, though.
All right, we get to the draft, April 30th through May 2nd. Little bit of a different twist. You'll be in Chicago. Matt Wilhelm will be with you. Just your thoughts on that, going to Chicago and leaving New York.
I kind of wish it was in New York. I like that Radio City Music Hall. I think it has that feel, but I see what the NFL's trying to do. Branch out there. Go to Chicago. Again, 10 new players hopefully coming to the Browns, 2 first-rounders, 10 picks overall.
All right, rookie mini-camps and then the regular mini-camps. How important is it for those rookies to get in there and just kind of get their lay of the land? I always call it freshman week. It's before the upperclassmen come back and the freshmen kind of get to feel Berea out.
It's huge, and it's not just the rookies who were drafted. That's where some guys who weren't drafted get invited and have an opportunity to impress. And some of the guys who took advantage of that last year, a guy like Taylor Gabriel, a guy like Robert Nelson. So you can find some gems in that mini camp. It's the first time to get in there, get on the field with the coaches. You got to see Isaiah Crowell for the first time last year, of course. Johnny, it's actually an exciting time. It's one of my favorite times. I had a good time watching that last year.
All right, for more on the schedule, make sure you go to clevelandbrowns.com. The Browns took a step towards filling a hole left by the departure of Jordan Cameron, signing tight end Rob Housler. Here's a look at what the newest Brown had to say.
What I've been hearing about is the momentum the city's been building, and I truly feel like you can feel that when you're here, and my talks with Coach Pat and Ray, man, it just felt like, you know, they got something going here that's not, you know, a flash in the pan. It's a process that is going to be enduring. So that's what it appealed to me a lot.
I had an opportunity to talk with Rob Housler Thursday on Cleveland Browns Daily, and he shared that he was being recruited by Baltimore and Cincinnati in the AFC North, but chose the Browns. And I like this guy, Andy. He's 6'5", 250, ran a 4.6 40, former third-round pick. And what I think free agency is all about is finding guys who are maybe in a scheme that didn't suit their skills when you know you can utilize them better than they were utilized before, and I think that's exactly what you have in Housler. This is a pass-catching move tight end. He's going to be flexed out a la Jordan Cameron. Not a big blocker, but this is a guy who can stretch the field vertically and make big plays, and I think that's what he's been brought here to do.
All right, he touched on this, and I want you to touch on it too. He talked about the process that they're trying to pull off in Berea to make this a long-term thing, and he wants to be a part of that. I thought that was pretty exciting to hear from Browns fans' perspective.
It is good, and knowing that he chose teams in the AFC North that have been to the playoffs, and he wanted to be here with the Browns. So I think that it's important you get the buy-in. He was excited about the way John DeFilippo is going to use him, the new offensive coordinator. And to me, it's about opportunity with Housler. From 2012 to 2013, these are his numbers. 124 targets, 84 catches, 871 yards. 2013, Jordan Cameron, 118 targets, 80 catches, 917 yards. Pretty similar numbers when given the opportunity. And Housler's one of the best yards after the catch per reception tight ends in the entire NFL, about 5 per catch. So he's a guy you can get the ball to in space. He can make people miss. And I think he's going to add a lot to this team.
Where does he fall on the depth chart?
I think he's the starting, as of today, he is the starting move tight end. So where Jordan Cameron would have been last year, that's where Rob Housler is going to be. I think Jim Dre, Gary Barnes stay in those same roles. It takes a little bit of the pressure off to get a tight end early. I still think they draft one. Housler's on a one-year deal. Barnage's contract's up at the end of next year. But this is a guy that's going to come in and be that move tight end, that pass catcher. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people here with the Browns.
All right, Nathan, good stuff, especially in the tight end. We will be right back.
Coming up next, we spotlight the Browns' defensive line and hear how Coach O'Neill plans on stopping the run.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. This week, we are premiering a new segment called Position Spotlight, where we'll be breaking down the Browns position by position and looking ahead to what changes are in the cards. And joining us is Nathan's partner in crime on Cleveland Browns Daily, Matt Wilhelm. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. In honor of Matt being here, we'll start with the defense and your boys on the defensive line. Before we even get started talking about that, let's take a look back at the highlights of the 2014 season.
We saw the defense looking pretty good in those highlights, but overall it was a little bit of a tough year. Last in the league against the run, last in the league in terms of yards per carry allowed. But the real reason was injuries. Desmond Bryant was the only consistent force on that defensive line. You had Armani Bryant playing 5 games. Phil Taylor played in 5 games. John Hughes, only 5 games. So they were missing a lot of their guys all season long.
Yeah, it's absolute luxury to have, you know, the significant depth that they had last year, and they do again this year. But that next man up mentality is really what got us through last season, and we look to catapult forward this year with a deep line.
All right, speaking of next man up, Billy Winn had a chance to talk about next man up earlier this week.
Every man on the defense knows his job. They all make sure that if an instance where a guy does go down, that the next man up knows exactly what he has to do. So they embed that in your mind where, you know, they want to make sure that just everybody is, you know, is sound from a playbook standpoint. You know, it's the next man up. He's got to carry the flag and do what he's got to do for his team.
Guys, that couldn't be more true. You know, the experience on this defensive line is what got us excited about this group last year. We're even more excited about it this year. We got everybody healthy. Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn's back. John Hughes got his extension. We add that toughness in Randy Starks, a two-time Pro Bowler from the Miami Dolphins, comes here with an attitude. He was recruited by Carlos Dansby, so he's coming here to play like a Brown for sure. So this is the group that's going to be the foundation of how well our defense will play this year.
Well, it's amazing. Going into last year, that was supposed to be the strength of this defense. Then the injuries decimated that, and the narrative changed very early on in the season. Now everybody is back healthy. I think you make a big addition with Randy Starks and get rid of Ataba Rubin, which I think is an addition by subtraction. So I think the line's in better shape today going into the season than it was a year ago. Plus, I don't think they're done. I think they're going to go in the draft and pick up one of those big run stuffers in the middle as well to kind of help this line out overall.
Matt, how much does it help the defensive philosophy when your head coach was a former defensive coordinator?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. And again, the great thing about it, we had Jim O'Neill on Cleveland Browns Daily as well, and he talked about that Mike Pettin gave him the reins about week five last year. So Mike Pettin, being a Rex Ryan kind of sibling, is coming in with an attitude and wanting to get to the quarterback, you know, and sack the quarterback. But first and foremost, this is a group with Jim O'Neill leading them as a defense coordinator that's going to focus on stopping the run. I wouldn't be surprised if he focused on that 5 minutes into his first meeting with that defensive group. Is we're going to stop the run, and this is how we're going to do it, because they went back and watched all that film, you know, which is sometimes excruciating to watch, being 32nd overall, about the success other teams had. They're going to make that as a chip on their shoulder and something they're going to want to eradicate this football season.
All right, well, you talked about Jim O'Neill, and so we'll discuss what's next for the Browns' defensive line. Here's what's in store, according to Coach O'Neill, and what he has to say about a key signing that was made here in the offseason.
I think, again, Randy Starks is going to be a reliable guy. He's made the Pro Bowl two times in his career. I think he's only missed four games. He's a power pass rusher, which means he'll be able to push the pocket and get the quarterback off his spot, which is going to make guys like Paul Kruger, Dez, and Armani and Mingo that much more effective, because those guys are more that are going to beat you around you. You know, he's going to get that quarterback off the spot and flush him to him. So, you know, and again, I'm excited about him mentoring the young guys in that room.
All right, guys, let's talk about Starks for a second and the draft, because how does Starks affect the draft, and then also how does Starks affect this team next year, depending on what spot he can play? Because he could play two if they needed him to.
Well, I think they're going to go with him at the three technique right now. They're moving Phil Taylor inside. You got Dez Bryant at the five technique. What I like about Randy Starks is his ability to get to the quarterback in addition to stopping the run. They like to use a lot of exotic fronts. So I think in nickel situations, you might see him actually in the middle to collapse the pocket. And I think they feel pretty good about what they have on the ends. Phil Taylor could slide out to one of those spots, either the three or the five, if need be. So when you think about the draft, that's why I said the run stopper. You got a guy like Danny Shelton in the middle, whether it's going to be a guy like Malcolm Brown, Jordan Phillips.
Keep talking Danny
Eddie
Shelton, because I want to hear it.
I love Danny Shelton.
Are you
put
on
him
board
in there.
With that, too?
I'm on board with Danny Shelton, too. He's a disruptor. We talked about him last week. You know, 80 tackles, 8.5 sacks, 16.5 tackles for a loss. He plays in the offensive backfield, and that's exactly what this team needs.
Yeah, and you're going to see, like I said, those multiple fronts. He's a guy that can be out there and collapse the pocket. That's what they didn't have last year. Somebody in the middle that could force the quarterback to the outside, as Jim O'Neill said, flush him to your rushers on the edge. They didn't have that. Randy Starks gives that to you. He had over 4 sacks last year, but didn't play much in passing situations. One of the top efficiencies as a pass rusher from a defensive tackle. They're going to use him that way this season.
And more so than anything, I think he's going to bring leadership. Leadership to that room. There are a bunch of young guys who've been thrown out there. You know, John Hughes is going into his fourth season. Phil Taylor is going to have a contract year as well. So Randy Starks will bring leadership and production to that room.
Again, I think you hammer home the point that I think we all need to remember on defense. It's stop the run.
Yes.
Stop the run. Stop the run.
That's what they're going to do. They are going to stop the run this year so they can earn the right to rush the passer. They're going to knock people down, not help them up. This is going to be a nasty defense. Starks was a big piece of that, and I think what they do in the draft is going to be a part of that. And you got to bring everybody back healthy, and let's see what this line actually can do.
If not, you'll go in there and you'll start yelling at guys in the locker room, right?
I absolutely would. I did it when I played, and I'll do it again.
All right, Matt, thanks. Just don't yell at us.
You got it. No problem.
All right, we'll be right back on Dog Pound Report.
Coming up next, we talk about a special visit for a fan on the mend, why the city of Cleveland should be proud of their teams, and give away tickets to see the uniforms revealed in person. Welcome back, Dog Pound. Now, this week's social post of the week does not come directly from a Browns player, but from Kiki Christ, whom Johnny Manziel visited in the hospital. And she said, quote, shout out to @JManziel2 for visiting me in the hospital. And later Wednesday, Christ took to Twitter again with a declaration. She said, retweet this, everyone. I want to go to prom with Johnny Manziel. Andy?
It's not big headline stuff, but this is what social media should be all about for any player that plays any professional sport. You want to do philanthropy, and you want to thank your fans. The great part about this was is that he didn't tweet it. It came from her, and it shows you some of the things that we never get to see from some of these professional athletes.
Yeah, Twitter has not been so kind to Johnny Manziel in the past, so it's good to see this, good to see him in rehab, focusing on himself and also focusing on doing good things for others, and I think that will go a long way, and it's certainly a positive sign there for the Browns and Johnny.
All right, let's keep it on a roll there, Johnny. All right, finally time for our weekly predictions where we tell you what we're convinced is going to happen over the next week. Nathan, speaking of being on a roll, you are on a roll with your predictions.
So what do you got? Oh, listen, we're just 2 days away from the uniform reveal, and I will tell you this. These uniforms will be unbelievable. They're going to blow people's minds. They're going to be top three in the NFL, and I own hundreds of jerseys.
I'm a
jersey guy. I can't say if I've seen them or if I haven't seen them. All I can tell you is that they are going to be awesome.
All right, I'm going to tell you this, and just knowing the way things are, it's like ice cream. If you give people free ice cream, half the people are going to complain that it's not the flavor that they want. The great Pete Franklin said that, and I'm telling you, as much as we love these new uniforms when they come out, there will be a group of people that do not like them. Just accept it and have fun with it and just live with it, because that's what's going to happen. In the end, if the Browns win, people will say, why didn't they go to those uniforms earlier?
Yeah, the players are going to look good. The players are going to like them universally, and I think everybody else should too. I think you'll be very pleased with what the Browns did, and you can check them out for yourself. Tune into the uniform reveal Tuesday, April 14th, right here on News Channel 5 at 7:30, or stream it from the Browns mobile app. But if you'd rather see it in person, lucky for you, we're giving away tickets to see it. Log on to clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV right now and enter the keyword jersey for your chance to win.
Hey, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. And make sure you tune in to Nathan on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850. And then me, weeknights, right here on News Channel 5 and on 92.3 The Fan from 10 to 2 with Baskin and Phelps. Everybody, have a great week. Take us home.
Don't forget, everybody, we bark together on the Dog Pound Report.